Blog Talk Radio.
Trying to sell your old car? Instead, donate your vehicle to Heritage for the Blind. Pickup is free and your donation is tax deductible. Just call 1-800-943-1356. Heritage for the Blind accepts cars, vans, trucks, and boats, whether they run or not. Donate your vehicle and you'll receive a free 3-day vacation voucher to over 50 locations. Call 1-800-943-1356. That's 1-800-943-1356.
It's finally Christmas. Christmas is here. And it's finally Christmas. He's coming here, coming here. The star of the heavens, the glorious light, the reason for Christmas is coming tonight. It's finally Christmas. It's finally Christmas. Christmas is here. It's finally Christmas. The baby is here. He is here. The shepherds are waiting. The wise men have come. The one in the stable is God's only son. It's finally Christmas.
On a Hill radio show. It's finally Christmas. What a beautiful song. That's a new Christmas song, and we're so delighted that we're going to be joined by the man who wrote that song, and his name is Johnny Cruz. We do thank you for joining us today as we continue to celebrate the birth of our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, and we are so grateful for this special time of year. We once again bring out our favorite Christmas carols and hymns. It's a time of remembrance, and we are so inspired by the words and the music, and I'd like to welcome Johnny Cruz. Hi there.
This is Johnny Cruz. How you doing?
Hey, I'm doing fine. I'm Barbara Moore, and we'll soon be joined by Diana Cruz. She is on her way into Dothan, so it'll be a little while before she joins us. But we are delighted to have you with us this afternoon, and I want to commend you on your beautiful new Christmas song, It's Finally Christmas. It's very beautiful, and, you know, I particularly liked the part where it says, "He is here, he is here." And could you tell us a little bit about yourself, Johnny, and how this song came to be?
Well, I actually wrote it last Christmas Eve, and I've been waiting all year to share it. And it actually came from the Christmas story in the Gospels. And I was reading when the angel had came to Joseph, Mary, and Elizabeth, and I got to thinking about, I wonder what the angels were thinking, knowing that they knew God's plan, his redemptive plan for man, and I had spent a portion of their eternity just waiting for it to go, you know, start going to place. And so this is the time it happened. So, you know, for them it was like, hey, it's finally Christmas. And that was the inspiration for the song, was coming straight out of the Gospels. And just wondering what the angels were thinking.
Wow. You know, anticipating for so very long. I mean, we can't even understand how long. The anticipation they must have felt. And, you know, when I heard that that line, he is here, up until that point, it's, he is coming, he is coming. The Messiah is coming. And now he's here. Well, that is so beautiful, right from the scriptures. And I must say, I've never seen that perspective. I've never really thought about that. Well, I know that the Lord inspired you through his word and to give you that perspective.
Well, you know, the funny thing was, you know, when the Lord gave it to me on Christmas Eve, I said, Lord, why'd you wait? The only people I got to actually sing it to, you know, which, I mean, I enjoyed doing it, you know, was Christmas morning after we had read the Christmas story, was, you know, my kids. And I always run all my songs by my youth pastor. He's like my best or worst critic. And he said, man, I wish, you know, we could do something with this song. I said, well, I reckon I just have to wait till next year. And I actually, the first time I played it this year was probably three weeks ago on a Saturday. And it was another worship leader, Judy Dugan from Tallahassee. And I played it for her, and she's recorded a CD or a couple of CDs before. And as soon as I played it, she said, we're going to the studio. That needs to be on radio. And I said, no, you're crazy. And that Tuesday, she set up the appointment, and we actually recorded in the studio for about 3 hours. And then that Wednesday, Faith Radio in Tallahassee actually played it. So it was crazy to actually hear my words that God had given me on the radio station. And I mean, that was crazy for me.
Yeah, I bet it was. Now, you said your children were the first to hear it Christmas morning. How beautiful is that? Now, what was their response?
They just looked at me with their mouths open. It's like, you wrote that? You know, I've written songs before, and they were just in awe, like I was. You know, I couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
You know, in less than 5 minutes, you know, how God had just given me every single word, the melody line, just everything. And, you know, just how it came together was truly something that God had to do. It wasn't nothing Johnny had did, I guarantee you that.
Yeah. Oh, I love it. You know, when the Lord gives something, there's such life in it. It's so life-giving, and we can recognize his thumbprint, if you will. So special. Myself, I've received some songs and poems and writings and such from him. It's just given. It's just overwhelming, really, that the God, our Creator, who created the heavens and the earth, our Redeemer, that he would speak to us in this way. It's overwhelmingly beautiful. It's very humbling, isn't it?
Oh, yes, it is. The part that I love when it when it talks about, you know, the price that he paid, you know, salvation was bought, the cross
yes.
was the price. I could not wait to get to that part of the song, you know, for that declaration to know, you know, that's the whole, I mean, that's the whole basis for, you know, our Christian faith is that
it
right
is,
there. And I wish I could have, like, I wanted to scream that part when I was singing it. Of course, you know, you got to control yourself, you know, when you're singing. And but that part was like, I could not wait to get to that part and declare that, because I mean that's what he did for me. That's what he did for you, you know, to know that where he was in heaven and where he went, you know, he was in a perfect place. You know, he was in the perfect place, you know, the place he's made for us. And then to come humbly, you know, not as a king or an adult or a grown person, but to come as a helpless baby, you know, is just, I mean, that's what's overwhelming. That's what, how can you fathom that, you know, that, you know, someone would do that for me. So that part of the song was like, I just couldn't wait to get to that part of it, to declare it.
You know, the stable itself, you know, he, like you said, he left the glory of heaven where everything is perfect and beautiful, and humbled himself to take on humanity. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. But to come and bring that glory, and to come and be born in a stable. And, you know, I thought about that a lot because, you know, that he comes to us. We're like that stable. You know, we're not glorious when he comes to us. You know, we're not clean. We're not, you know, truly our conditions, whoever we are, and I know in my case, truly he came and was born again in me, in my stable, in the conditions of a stable, very needy, very humble circumstances, and in great need of him. And I like to think about that too. And you know, it shows that no matter what the condition that a human being is in, that Jesus will come there, and he will be born there. That he can be born again of his Spirit. He can be born in them by the Spirit. And no matter how humble the circumstances, no matter how dirty, no matter how, you know, but just that desire to for him to come. And I think that's a beautiful part of it. Johnny, do you perhaps have your lyrics in front of you?
I sure do.
Would you please read them to us? It was beautiful with the music, but I want to hear those words again, if you don't mind, please.
I don't mind at all. It's finally Christmas. Christmas is here. It's finally Christmas. He's coming here. He's coming here. The star of the heavens, the glorious light, the reason for Christmas is coming tonight. It's finally Christmas. Christmas is here. It's finally Christmas. Christmas is here. It's finally Christmas. The baby is here. He is here. The shepherds are waiting. The wise men have come. The one in the stable is God's only son. It's finally Christmas. Christmas is here. It's finally Christmas. Christmas is here. It's finally Christmas. Our Savior is here. He is here. The King of creation, of earth, moon, and sky, the reason for Christmas is with us tonight. It's finally Christmas. Christmas is here. Salvation was bought. The cross was the price. The reason for Christmas is Jesus Christ. It's finally Christmas. Christmas is here. It's finally Christmas. He's finally here. He is here. It's finally Christmas. The reason is here. He is here. It's finally Christmas. Our Savior is here. He is here. It's finally Christmas. Christmas is here.
Amen. Amen. Beautiful. Just beautiful. Johnny, we have a caller, and it may be an old friend of yours. Let's see who it is calling in. There we go. Could this be an old friend of Johnny's? Let's see. Well.
Can you guys hear me?
Yeah, now we can. Now we can. Is this Rich?
Okay, all right. Well, hey, this is Rich Hobson. And hello, Johnny. Hey, Barbara. I just wanted to call in and congratulate Johnny and thank him for, again, listening to the Lord and writing down what he said and putting the tunes to a song from what the Lord has said, because Johnny has done it many times, and this is a beauty, Johnny. The Lord has really blessed you with this one.
Well, thanks, Rich. The inspiration, it all comes from God. It's for his glory. You know, it's not for Johnny's glory, but I do appreciate you, especially coming from another songwriter and a Woodscott, another Woodscott member. Barbara, you don't know about Woodscott, do you?
No, please tell us.
Well, Rich, you want to tell her or do you want me to tell her?
Well, hey, this is your show. This is the Johnny Cruz show. I think you need to, Johnny. But, hey, I'm going to get off the line. I just wanted to say hello to you. But, yeah, tell her that and tell her your story, Johnny, because I've known you, I think, since 1974, maybe 1973. And you and I were a lot different back then, and we are new folks today. Amen to that. But you tell her about that transformation there, Johnny. And God bless you. I pray that you have a blessed new year. And, Barbara, you are consistently in my prayers, too. So God bless you. You have a great new year, too.
Hey, Rich, I think about that quite often, that my family is still in your prayers, and God bless you for it. Thank you.
Well, one thing about the Hobson's prayer list, once you get on it, it's hard to get off. So that's a good thing. All righty. Well, hey, God bless you, too. I'll talk to you later.
Okay,
hey, thanks,
Rich.
You bet.
Oh, that was wonderful. That was wonderful. You know, Rich and Susie have been such a blessing, and their daughter that I've met also. But I haven't known them for very long like you have. So kind of fill us in now. Rich said, tell us your story, Johnny. And kind of fill in some gaps there.
Well, I met and Rich were schoolmates. I moved to Enterprise, Alabama in 1979. My dad was stationed at Fort Rucker. And the first time I met Rich was junior high, and we weren't real close then. I mean, I knew of him. He knew of me. But going back to then, I was 14 years old, and I wasn't church. My parents didn't go to church. The only times I actually went to church, I was actually trying to get with a girl, if you know what I mean. I got in with a crowd I thought I could fit in, and I started messing with drugs and alcohol, and that's kind of how I knew Rich too. He kind of ran with the same crowd. He wasn't too much in the drugs part. He drank alcohol like me, and it's funny, when you're 14, 15 years old, it was the normal thing as far as the crowd we were with. Everybody did. Everybody could do it. And you could get it from anywhere. And, at least now, it's harder to get, even though, you know, kids can still get it today. And I tell you, just to fast forward everything for the next 25 years, I was a drug addict and an alcoholic. And it wasn't until around about 3 weeks before Easter 2000, my son's youth pastor carried me to a church. It wasn't even his own church because he just felt like I couldn't be fed where I was at. But the preacher that was at this church was someone I actually played softball with years before and drank with him. And so I'm in this church, and I see this fellow ball player and alcoholic, and I reckon you'd say, and he's up there preaching. And the Lord started stirring my heart. I didn't understand at the time what was going on. It was like he was up there reading my mail. He knew everything that was going on in my life, even though I hadn't been around this man in, you know, probably 5, 6, 7 years. And it was like, you know, how does he know all that? And that went on for about 2 Sundays. And at that second Sunday, I actually came home and had dinner with my kids and my wife. I got a lovely family. My wife, Denise, we've been married 28 years. I have a 28-year-old son and a 24-year-old daughter, Ashley and Bradley. And they actually grew up in the church because we made them go. So on those days they were gone, we could actually do what we wanted to do. And Bradley had been in church, so, you know, we were eating dinner at lunch that day, and I asked Bradley, I said, Bradley, you know, what's that mean when the preacher's like he's preaching to you, you know, like he knows exactly what's going on in your life, like he's reading your mail? He said, Daddy, that's not the preacher, and that's the Holy Spirit.
Aww.
It was like a light bulb that went off in my head, and at the time I was probably at the lowest point of my life where I had come to the point where I was questioning, you know, is this all there is? You know, just, you know, getting drunk and getting high and then, you know, feeling bad afterwards. And I tell you, I spent so much money on it. I was always broke. And, you know, I'd come to that point where I was just asking anybody that would listen, you know, mainly in my own mind, I said, is this all there is to life? You know, something's got to be different. And that next Sunday was Easter Sunday, like I said, 2000. And when my preacher Stanley gave the invitation, you know, I couldn't wait for the end of the service. I wanted to run down to the altar, but we were so packed that Easter morning, I couldn't even get down to the altar. I had to actually meet him in the foyer. And when I got to the foyer, he said, I've been waiting on you. And I'll tell you, God rocked my world, and he's been rocking it ever since. I was actually in a band at the time. I didn't want to give it up because I love music so much. That's another thing that me and Rich share. And I'll get to the Woodscott part in just a minute. But I didn't think I'd ever, you know, play music again because I knew the Lord didn't want me in a bar. And, man, he opened up the doors, and I play now more than I ever had in my life. I led worship at my church for a period of time, and now I lead worship for our youth on a Wednesday night. So, you know, I get to teach and hopefully inspire other kids, and I catch them at those ages where, you know, where I was at the age when I started, you know, all the things I should have been doing. And I'm a worship leader, and, you know, I'm God's worship leader first. I mean, this is how he inspires me, is because I get to play music every day, and he gives me these melodies and words in my head. And the only thing I have to do is try to figure out how to get it all on a piece of paper. And you know, I get to be around teenagers, which, you know, I don't know if that's a good or bad thing sometimes. And I mean, they keep you on your toes, but I absolutely love what God's done in my life in the last 10 years. My wife, we committed her life after a year. Actually, my son did too, because they were kind of waiting on Daddy to go back to the old dad. And when they saw it was for real and saw that God had truly changed me, you know, both of them felt like they never did really change. And so I got to see my wife. Actually, I was on a youth trip when my wife recommitted her life. And Bradley came down one Sunday, and, you know, he recommitted his life. He's actually a youth leader at his church and gets to fill in and preach sometimes. Every time he gets to preach, he calls me, and, you know, we get to go see him, you know, bring the Word of God down. And it's just God
is.
This is my son. My son is actually marvelous.
Oh, yeah, that is so beautiful.
Him and his
That's
wife
got to
were
be
married.
One of the greatest joys of your life.
It's truly amazing. I remember his wedding. They had both saved themselves for their wedding, and that was one of my proudest moments, is to know they had waited. And then, you know, they asked me to say something at the reception, and, you know, what more glorious way can you honor your father than when you're married, you have saved yourself. And I'm thinking, you know, God has got to bless this marriage. It's a promise he's given us that when we're obedient, he's going to bless us. And what a better way to honor God than with your body, that you say, you know, God, this is yours. And that was a proud moment. And I'm ADD, Barbara, so I'm all over the place. But now,
hey, I like it. I must be too. I'm following you. I like it too.
Now, I tell you, hey, I had not seen, up until about 3 or 4 years ago, I had not seen Rich or any of my high school friends up until probably 81. When I met my wife, I was actually I moved to Bainbridge, Georgia. I've been here for 28 years now, and at the time I moved up here, I was actually going to Enterprise every weekend and partying with my old high school buddies. And then after I met Denise, my wife, I just never thought about them again until about 4 or 5 years ago. And one of the little groups that we hung around with, Steve Frank, he started contacting all his high school buddies, and he had a burning in his heart that God gave him that he just needed to know all his high school buddies were saved, you know, all the people we had hung out with at the time. And he contacted me, and which was wild. I mean, that's another whole different story, but he started this, he wanted to do a retreat with these high school friends he had that were either saved or weren't saved. And so he invited all of them, and the first group that met together was at a place, his name was Scott Hoyam, in Troy, Alabama. And that's where we came up with the, and we're all like musicians still, you know, we're all still playing. So instead of Woodstock, we called it Woodscott, named after the guy's house we met at, Scott Hoyam. So that's where the name came up with.
Aww.
And there was there was Rich, Stacy Sparkman, he's from Enterprise, Danny Dykus, he's from Enterprise, Steve Frank from Headland, you know, Rich from Montgomery, Scott from Montgomery, I want to say Tommy Curry, I think he's from Montgomery, and there was a couple others. There was a couple others that came later when we started meeting in Headland, but we just got together and just had a big jam session. You know, everybody had some kind of instrument, and we sang, and then we just started talking about how God had changed us, and it was just amazing to see the same guys I had played music with and actually drank with and partied with, and now all of them, you know, were either affiliated with a church or serving at a church. And, you know, this is after 20-some years. I hadn't even seen them. And to see the change was just amazing. You know, it's one thing to know of your own change, but when you see others, you know, when you see the evidence of Christ right in front of you, I mean, you know, when you see the glory in their faces, when They're singing about him and praying for him. There is nothing like that. And then get to share that was amazing. So what we decided to do was either once or twice a year we would get together as this retreat, just us guys, and get together. And it, we started meeting in Headland, Alabama, right outside Headland, Alabama, at the Living Waters. And it's like a conference center, and it's used for a lot of different reasons. I wish I could name the person that's actually in charge of it, because she's a saint, and she works with all kind of different people, you know, whether it's any kind of abuse. It's sort of a center for that, where they can get away, and we actually slept in their meeting place, and we would eat, and we've recorded music there, we've written music there. Rich Hobson, which was just on the radio a few minutes ago, he has, you would not believe the notebooks of music he had. You're talking about someone that can write music, and usually, you know, every time I talk to him, he's written two or three musics, and I talk to him, you know, if not once a week, once every 2 weeks. And that's how Woodscott came together. So that's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
Amen. Well, it's a beautiful story. It is truly, truly inspiring. It's amazing. I'm just really, really blessed, and I know Diana is too.
Oh, yes, Miss Barbara. I just want to thank Johnny. You know, just listening here, I think to myself, you know, what a perfect gift to God for Christmas, you know, giving the testimony that he just gave. And I know it blessed my heart because he had me in tears. So I can just imagine, you know, other people. And that's what Christmas is all about, you know. And I just was thinking too, Ms. Barbara, Johnny, you know, I asked God for a word this morning, and he led me to Daniel. And it was about how Daniel had that dream about Nebuchadnezzar, you know, being the top of that statue and the different kingdoms that would come, you know, past his. And then the kingdom of God that comes, you know, from that walk. And I think to myself about Johnny's song, it's finally Christmas. And I'm thinking, you know, we hear the rumblings in Israel and other signs. And I'm thinking that time is coming again. That second coming is going to be here pretty quick.
Amen.
And what an opportunity we have right now to share the message of God's love, because he wants them to live with him in heaven for eternity. And we want to share that with our brothers and sisters that do not know him, that doesn't have their name in heaven, because I can just hear the joy. Miss Barbara, you've never met Johnny. I've never met Johnny, but yet just listening to you and him, this is the gift of Christ when you can talk to one another as a family, you know, and you're no stranger. In an instant, you have a bond because of Christ, and that is what we want to share with our listeners, is that, you know, when Christ enters your heart and he becomes your Savior, you are part of that family, and you can live in heaven eternity. And what the joy that Johnny has just shared with us is something that's for them too, not just for a little group like us. It's for them
Absolutely. It's just a simple prayer that you pray, that you believe that Christ did all this for us, that he came to the earth for our sin, and he went to the cross, and he died, and he rose again. And now all we have to do is believe that, to have our names written in that book. Diane, I love that. You know, I love the simplicity of it. I mean, you know, you don't have to be smart. You know, you don't have to be, you know, a rich man. You know, you can be poor, and you don't have to have an education to know that Christ loved you and what he did for you. And all you have to do is believe. It's so simple. And I'm just praying for that day that my mom, all she has to do is accept that. And so all that I do, you know, is it has to be for His glory. It can't be for anything about John, because John, there's nothing good about John, absolutely nothing. So, you know, when God, when I'm on my knees too, when those mornings I get to spend a prayer with Him and He gives me these things, you know, that I can't write them down fast enough because, you know, they'll escape me. So just keep my mom in her prayer, in your prayers too, please.
We surely will, well, John, and yeah. Thank you so much for sharing that. We have a caller who's joined us, and I'd like to welcome whoever it is. Would you like to join our conversation? And
yes.
Do you have a question or a comment for John?
I do, and I don't know if it's offbeat, but I thank you for taking my call. I have a question concerning Christmas, and I love my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ very much. I love my God, and I'm wondering why those who celebrate Christmas prefer to celebrate a lie. If my God, if our God means so much to us, why would we start it off by celebrating a lie? Everyone knows.
Well, what we're celebrating is the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. And the Scripture reveals that He did leave the glory of heaven and came to earth, humbled Himself to take the form of take on humanity. And that's what we're celebrating. We're
yes.
Also, you know,
I
this
celebrate
entire
that every
season,
day.
This entire season, we're celebrating with Christmas carols and hymns that we love, which are traditional, and then new ones like the one that John wrote. Were you able to hear that song?
Yes, it's a great song. And
it is, isn't it?
I do accept, you know, that, you know, it's a great gathering, but if we know anything about the history of Christmas, even in modern time, it came about in the 1800s in America. It was not even done in pre-colonial time. And I'm just wondering, I love my God too much to celebrate a lie. And I celebrate my Lord and Savior every day that He came in the flesh. And if
Amen.
I wanted to
Amen, we do too. And you know,
if I wanted
would just
to
encourage
convince someone,
you to just keep reading and
if I wanted
keep
to
reading
convince
and
someone
keep doing
about
your
Jesus
research.
Christ, and I know you don't want to hear this, but if I wanted to convince someone about Jesus Christ and my God, I would not start it off with a lie. Thank you very much for taking my call.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Thank you for calling.
Ms. Barbara,
yes?
I'd like to just add something to what the caller said. You know, I think
sure.
God works all things for good for those who love Him. And we have seen time and time again that God has used evil rulers, just like in Daniel's dream, Nebuchadnezzar, you know. He has used all sorts of things that were evil. He turned it around for our good. He has a purpose in mind, even with Daniel, who, you know, was taken out of Israel to Babylon. And yet, because of God's goodness, we know what happened with Daniel. Here's a man who had such a love for God that even though so many things were taken out of him, yet he praised the Lord. And he was useful to God in that situation. So I just want to, you know, encourage the listener to remember that God uses all things for His good, His glory, all the kingdoms that have been set up on earth. He used for His own purpose, and that's what He was showing, I believe, not just Nebuchadnezzar in that dream, but all of us, because it was so beautifully written in God's holy word, the Bible, to remember that, yes, He can do all these things, and I believe He wants a time of remembrance. And, you know, yes, it happened, as he said, 1800s, but how good of God to help us to have this time of the year when we can hear such praise music as Johnny was inspired by God, and we know that. I believe I know when the Holy Spirit inspires someone, and I heard
That's
that
right.
in Johnny's song.
That's right. I love it.
I absolutely believe that too. And you know, I've heard the different arguments, you know, about, you know, when Christ was born, and but like you said, Diane, you know, He uses all things and all things for His glory. And if this is the time that, you know, we gather and we hear the testimony of Christ being born, and then actually, you know, we hear the whole story. And if that's what God chooses to do, then who are we to say, you know, if it's of man? You know, I've heard preachers preach for 20 years and then get saved. Now, all those that He led to the Lord, are they saved? I believe absolutely they're saved. They're not saved by a preacher. They're saved by the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit can use anything. God can use anything He wants to lead His people. And that's the thing He wants. He wants His redemption. He wants people to come up to know Him. And if this is the way He's done it, then who am I to say? You know, who am I to say, you know, if God did this or not?
Amen. I agree with you. Well, this has been a wonderful conversation. I had a question also, John, to ask you. One of the things that, as you were sharing about your precious mother and how God is tenderly. Reaching out to her and ministering to her. And I was, you know, you mentioned the book that she read so quickly, and boy, that's such an encouraging sign as well. But, you know, your messages are getting to her. Those are God's messages that He sends through you to her as well as to the many. But those are directly to her as well. So I'm just, and we will be praying for her, and we would ask you also to pray for our loved ones that are not yet saved. And I would appreciate that so much, John. Yes.
I'd like to add this too. I was just thinking, Johnny, you know, sometimes I think it's so hard for even us Christians to realize how big God's love is for us, because it is so enormous. And, you know, He's not stopped the miracle business. You know, He constantly does things for us that just, I know I get a surprise. Even today I had a surprise. I'm thinking, Lord, how much more can I ask of You and You not get tired of my asking? But His word says to ask and it shall be given you, seek and you shall find, knock and the door will be open. And so, you know, I don't know about everybody, but I know that there are probably sinners out there that says, you know, I've been so bad that I cannot be forgiven. I'm the worst of the worst. And I don't know who it is, but if they're listening, we want to tell them otherwise, right, Johnny? There's nobody that's so bad that God cannot reach them and forgive them and change their lives.
Absolutely, Diane. And you know what? If just like Paul said, I'm the chief sinner. And if he could save me, I know there's not anybody else out there He can't save. If He could have took me where I was at, and for the things I've done, man, He could save anybody, and will save anybody if you just simply believe.
Yeah. We want to encourage the listeners, and Johnny. Ms. Barbara, I don't know how much time we have. Do you want to go ahead
talk? We have 12 minutes, Diana. 12 minutes remaining.
Did you want to mention that one thing before we, maybe if Johnny don't mind, we'll ask him to do the closing prayer. But I know you had something about Christmas that you had wanted to mention.
Oh, what the Lord gave me some years ago.
Yes.
Is that what you're talking about?
Uh-huh.
Yes, I would love to. I would love to share that. I just love it. And I can say that because the Lord gave it to me, and it's nothing of me. So let me share that. It's called Gifts of Life. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. John 1:14. When did God become flesh? At conception? At birth? If Jesus Christ had been aborted during Mary's pregnancy, would it have been just a blob of tissue destroyed? Or the Son of God? After the angel revealed God's plan for man's redemption to Mary, she responded, "Be it done unto me according to thy word." The Holy Ghost came upon her, and the power of the highest overshadowed her. The virgin was with child, and the son within her womb was the Son of God, Emmanuel, God with us. Unto Joseph, Mary's espoused husband, the angel of the Lord said, "Fear not to take unto thee Mary, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost." Matthew 1:20. That which is conceived leaves no room for doubt or question. Human life begins at conception, not birth. And each human life is valuable in the sight of God. No exceptions. God created man in his image and likeness. God breathed his very life into man's nostrils. Man is sacred to God, different and set apart from all other forms of life. God has a wonderful plan and purpose for each one of us. No one is disposable. No one is a throwaway. And we, all of mankind, need each gift of life that God gives. Each death is our loss. This Christmas season, as we are thanking our God for the gift of eternal life in Jesus Christ, his Son, let us think about all the other gifts of life that will never be unwrapped in the light of day to be treasured and appreciated. Babies sent from God, gifts to us, precious gifts of life.
Amen.
Woo.
Amen. Wow.
Amen. Amen. Woo.
Miss Barbara.
Barbara. Woo. I like that.
I do too. It's precious. And these babies are precious to the Lord and to the Lord's people, you know?
I know.
Well, Ms. Barbara, it has been an amazing hour listening to you and him. And thanks for letting me put in my little bit of input. But, you know, God reigns, and I just, what a wonderful show this has been. You know, about the message of how Christmas and the inspiration it brings all of mankind. I mean, and just think, he loves us so much. You know, I cannot grasp his love, because it's just, it's really more than I deserve. And it's just too awesome. It's just really too awesome. But we hope that the listeners, you know, that what they got out of the message is, hey, we love God. And God loves them so much more than we can even really describe fully. And he's waiting for them. And just like, you know, Johnny gave his life, put his faith and trust in Jesus Christ, it's really like I heard somebody say, Miss Barbara, Johnny, that, you know, he wasn't really sure whether or not to pray that prayer because they just weren't sure. And, you know, isn't that wonderful, though, that it's really not about being sure. It's about having faith.
Exactly. Absolutely.
You know, Diana, as you were speaking, I was thinking, you know, when I surrendered my life to the Lord and I asked him to forgive me, and, you know, it is where your heart is. And not necessarily the words. And, you know, the lady, dear friend that I prayed with to receive the Lord and be filled with the Holy Spirit, she's in heaven now with our Lord. And, but, you know, she just, she prayed for me. And we're going to be praying for everyone that hears this broadcast and hears the words of life. But she prayed for me, and then she said, "Now you pray." She didn't give me any words to pray. And the only thing I could pray was, "Jesus, I need you." So anyone who is listening, whatever is in your heart, whatever, you know, pray to the Lord, and whatever is in your heart, pray to him, and he will hear you. He will listen, and he will come and be born in you. You can be born again and be a new creation in him. Old things passed away. All things become new. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Wow. Ms. Barbara, do we have time to go ahead and let Johnny close us in prayer? Or?
Oh, yes, we do. We've got 5 minutes remaining. Praise God. Take all the time you want, John.
It has been such a joy listening to you, Johnny. And if you don't mind, if you'd come back again. And how do we? How can listeners... Have you got this on a CD already, Johnny, for them, if they want to get it, or what should they do?
Well, if they'll contact me by email, I'll be glad to send them one. I mean, I've had people at my church, they said, "Well, let me give you some money." I said, "No, you wanting this, and if it blesses you, I don't want a single dime. You know, God wrote this, and, you know, if they'll email me bc412@hotmail.com, I'll send them one. Give me an address, and I'll send it to them."
Thank you, Johnny. What a blessing. What a gift.
Mm-hmm.
What a gift.
Yes.
Yes.
Amen.
Well, with that, Johnny, we'll let you close in prayer. Yeah, sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah. Thank you so much. Father God, I do believe in you and what you give us every day. Every day is Christmas. As the caller called in, every day should be Christmas to us. Every day should be a celebration of who you are. And Lord, it shouldn't be just one time a year. And Father, so forgive us for those times that we take you for granted. Or Lord, we don't shine as you would ask us to shine, Father. Just forgive us of those things and all the other sins that may get in the way of our prayer times, Father. I do need your forgiveness every day. And Lord, for what you do for us and what you've done for us, Father, I can't thank you enough for how you inspire us, Lord. And we know you, how you live in us by the joy you fill our hearts with, Father, and the blessings that you do give us every day, and for those miracles, Lord, that some say you're not, there's no miracles anymore. But Father, every time someone accepts you, that's a miracle, Father. That's a miracle of testimony. Lord, that's a miracle of just knowing who they were and who they are now and where they're going, Father. I thank you for, Lord, for the heaven, knowing one day that we'll all spend it singing every day, giving us new songs every day. That, Lord, for the first 1,000 years, Father, I know I'm just going to be at your knees, Father, just worshiping you, Lord. And then maybe afterwards I want to speak to Daniel, and I want to see Moses and all the other saints, Father, that are there waiting on us, Father God, that, Lord, that cheer us on every day, Lord, when we do give our testimony, Lord, when we do lead others to you. And, Father, I just can't thank you enough for my family, knowing that my immediate family, my wife and my kids are going to spend eternity in heaven too, that we'll spend it together, Lord. And Lord, for right now, I pray that you would give us the boldness and courage, Lord, to bring your word forth, those words of life to those that are lost, Father God. That, Lord, are those that are searching, as I searched over 10 years ago, Father, for a change, Lord, for something more than what this world offers, Lord, for what heaven offers, and what you offer to us. Lord, I thank you for the cross and the blood you shed, Lord, and I thank you for your salvation and for my name being in your book, Father. I pray for Diana and Barbara now, Father, for their courage, Lord, to bring forth such an inspiring gift you've given them, Father, for being able to be on the radio each and every day on the airwaves, proclaiming your word. Father, I pray a blessing, a hedge, a protection over them, Father God, from the evil one, from those that would try to destroy what they're doing, Lord, whether it be one person or a government. We know who it is, Father. It's not anybody of this world, but the principalities and the powers of the dark and the evil one, Father. So in the name of Jesus, I rebuke you, Satan, for what you're trying to do. I pray we see it before it comes. And, Lord, that we don't even have to battle it. Father, you battle it for us. And, Lord, again, I just thank you for this day, this very minute you've given us, Lord, for this blessings you've given us. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. John, thank you so much. And this has been delightful, this time with you. And I'm so glad that we could celebrate the Lord together. And I know this will be a great blessing to all who heard the broadcast today. So thank you again, and God bless you and your loved ones. And we will be keeping your mother in our prayers as well. And Diana, it's been wonderful.
Always. And wonderful to be about the Lord's business, Miss Barbara, and what a great gift of having Johnny on today. Isn't God so awesome to us to have such a person like Johnny come on and just bless our
Diana,
hearts?
Diana, God
listeners.
Gives us the greatest gift, doesn't he?
He is so great. And Johnny, this
gives,
will be on our podcast.
I'm going to tell you this, ma'am.
Go ahead. It's going to be on our podcast for you to share if anybody wants to hear it and download it.
Well, thank you that God's given you patience to put up with me.
Oh, it's been a joy.
You're a blessing.
It's been a
you're
joy.
A blessing, John. Thank you so
yes.
much, and God bless you.
Thank you. God bless you.
God bless you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to City on a Hill radio show. May God bless you and shine his face upon you. Bye-bye.